altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for our sake became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you.
Please remain standing. This morning I'll be reading from Psalm 67. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among many nations. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Salah. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Please be seated. Approximately 2,000 years ago, God blessed us by fulfilling his promise to be Emmanuel, God with us. In that moment in time, his face shone upon all the nations of the earth to declare his salvation had come. Emmanuel was named Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins. We are redeemed. We are the redeemed of the ages and the spiritual seed of Abraham, his holy temple, the body of Christ. It is good and it is right that we gather on this Lord's Day to praise and honor God, our own God. May we with one voice and one heart worship our merciful and righteous Heavenly Father, his precious Son, our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, and his Holy Spirit, around his throne in spirit and truth, giving thanks for his innumerable blessings.
Will you bow with me? Dear God, as we come into your presence, we just ask your blessing on this assembly and on this body. We pray that we can worship you and be pleasing to you as we sing and lift our songs up to you and study your word. We pray a special blessing on those who cannot be with us this morning, those that are sick and home and shut in and in the hospital. We just pray that you will restore their health and bring them back among us. We thank you at this time that as the whole world turns and remembers the birth of your Son, we thank you for what that means to us and that we can have salvation through him. We thank you for your love for us that you poured out by sending your Son for us. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
If you'll join me and stand for these next two songs. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat. The sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness. And wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. He came to live a perfect life. He came to be the living word, our light. He came to die so we'd be reconciled. He came to rise to show his power and mind. That's why we praise him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King. 'Cause he gave his everything. 'Cause he gave his everything. He came to live, live again in us. He came to be our conquering King and friend. He came to heal and show the lost ones his love. He came to go prepare a place for us. That's why we praise him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King. 'Cause he gave his everything. Hallelujah. That's why we sing. That's why we offer him our everything. That's why we bow down and worship this King. 'cause he gave his everything. 'Cause he gave his everything. Maybe seated.
King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Show me the tomb where thou wast laid, tenderly mourned and wept. Angels in robes of light arrayed guarded thee whilst thou slept. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Let me, like Mary, through the gloom, come with a gift to thee. Show me now the empty tomb. Lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary.
How blessed we are today to sing not only about the birth of Jesus, but to also reflect upon his death on the cross for us. I'm reminded he could not come and offer himself until he came. And so today is a day where we celebrate his coming, as well as at this particular time in our assembly, his sacrifice for us. Go ahead and take your emblems out of the little envelope, if you will, please, if you haven't done so already. We're reminded that the bread represents his body, which came into the world and then went out of the world. The fruit of the vine represents that blood that was shed for each one of us. May we be grateful for each and every day that Jesus lived on this earth from the first through the last, and that he continues to reign even today. Would you pray with me as we pray for this unleavened bread? Father, we are so blessed on this December 25th to think about the birth of your Son, to think about his submissive life to you each and every day that he lived on this earth, and that it led to Calvary. May we follow his example of submission and sacrifice. as we now partake together this emblem of his body, and as we do so and pray these things, giving thanks in his name, amen. Let us continue our prayer for this fruit of the vine. Again, Father, we are thankful for this opportunity to pause in our busy lives and on this particular busy day to think about your love for us, a love that was demonstrated in a manger and a cross. How amazing those symbols are for the scope of your love for us. And as we now partake of this fruit of the vine representing the blood of Jesus shed freely for us, may we do so with gratitude in our hearts each and every day. As we pray in his name, amen. Now let's continue our worship in a prayer of thanksgiving and thanks for God for the blessings he's given us and the opportunity to give back. Pray again with me, please. Father, we are grateful for all of the blessings you give to us. Especially now, we thank you that we have an opportunity to give back to you and to give to one another through your holy church. We pray that our gift to you of not only our financial means, but of our lives will be pleasing in your sight. As we pray together again in the name of Jesus, amen.
Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. We'll praise his name forever. We'll praise his name forever. We'll praise his name forever, Christ the Lord. We'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory. We'll give him all the glory, Christ the Lord. For he alone is worthy, for he alone is worthy, for he alone is worthy, Christ the Lord.
Matthew chapter 2, verses 4 through 6 reads, "And when he had gathered all the people and the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, and the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.
Good morning, church. What a joy it is to be with you this morning, and what a joy it is to see you all out with us. We're thankful for your presence. We are finishing up a four-week series on Emmanuel, that which was prophesied back in Isaiah, 700 years before Christ came, that the Savior, the Messiah, the Anointed One, would be God with us. And we've talked about a lot of different aspects of that, and today we're going to talk about, in His coming, how people responded to that. Now, this morning, we don't have our typical setup. We don't have our children going into their special time, but we're going to have a special time for them here in just a couple of minutes. And when I prompt you, if you're third grade and under, would you please come, and you can sit down here on the floor, and I'm going to come down and sit in the floor with you guys. Well, just a couple of minutes. We're not quite ready just yet. I love the enthusiasm. That was awesome. The adults could learn a lot from that enthusiasm right there. And we're going to have a short lesson for them in the middle of the lesson, and some time for them this morning. And we're going to welcome them down by singing the song, Jesus Loves Me. And so I hope everyone will join me as we sing that song here in just a few minutes. But we're going to spend our time this morning talking about God with us. What an amazing thought. You know, there was, she's still alive. I guess she's still recording music. But there was a female artist a number of years ago that wrote a song. And the hook in the song was, what if God was one of us, just a slob like one of us? Her name was Sheryl Crow. Now, the thing that Miss Crow doesn't really understand is that he did become a slob like one of us, quote unquote. He became a human being. He dealt with the aspect of humanity, every bit of it. He struggled through this life like all of us, yet in his struggle, he never gave in to the temptation to sin. He was hungry, he was thirsty, he was tired, and ultimately he suffered and died. He was one of us. And he still can sympathize with each of us because he was our Emmanuel. Would you pray with me as we begin this morning? Father, we love you so much. We thank you, and we praise your high and holy name, and we are so grateful, Father, for the incredible gift that you gave us, the sending of your Son to become like us so he could feel with us, that he could sympathize with us and understand the struggle that we have in this life from an experiential standpoint. Thank you, Father, for that. Thank you for loving us enough to send him not only to experience this life, but to taste death for each and every one of us. Father, he took our punishment, and he made a way for us to be restored to you. He is our peace, and we thank you so much for that. Bless us as we study again this morning, Father. Another portion of your word. May we be blessed, and may you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. In Micah chapter 5, one of the minor prophets, we read the following in verses 2 through 5. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet shall come forth Yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace. This prophecy is about 400 to 450 years before the coming of Jesus into the world. And the prophecy was that he would be born in Bethlehem. Now, we've walked down this road before. We're not going to strain this too much this morning. But, you know, do you know what's going to happen 400 years from now? Well, I don't. I'm quite certain I won't be around to see it if the earth is still standing. What about 400 months from now? Do you know what's going to happen 400 months from now? 400 days from now? I mean, we have plans, right? We make plans, but is it always going to come to fruition the way that we plan things? 400 weeks from now. 400 hours from now. You see, we can look to the future and we can assess things and maybe determine what's going to happen, but there is no way that we can determine 400 plus years from now what is going to happen, especially where an individual is going to be born. You may say, well, my grandkids and my family, they'll all be in Gainesville for forever and ever. How do you know that? You don't. But this prophecy came that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, that he would be one who would be raised up and he would be feeding his flock. In other words, he would be the shepherd of God's people. And lastly, in verse 5, it says he would be peace. We talked about him being our Prince of Peace here just a couple of weeks ago and how important it was to understand who Jesus is as our peace. And this brings us to our text that we're going to focus on this morning in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written in the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least of the rulers of Judah, but out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me so I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." There's a lot of folklore and biblical myths that we have built up around this account of these magi, these wise men coming. And I want to briefly put those things aside so we can move forward with our lesson. First of all, the idea that there were three of them. There were three gifts, But the word magi is plural, so we only know that there were at least two of the magi. There could have been 200. We don't know. Most likely, coming from the east, these were of the remnant who were left behind when Medo-Persia captured Babylon and sent a group of the Jews back to rebuild Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. You will recall from the book of Esther, there was a large group of Jews who stayed behind, including Esther, who became queen. They would have had a knowledge of God's plans, but somehow God let them know that this is the time and this is the place. They weren't kings. When you get into that word magi, it comes from actually a Persian word. And it carries with it an idea of those who gaze at the stars. They very well could have been astrologers of some kind. But God chose to let them know, and they came to worship. Now, in your nativity scenes that you see either out in front of a store or maybe you have one at home, it's really, really unlikely that they were there the night Jesus was born. It had been some time. Now, we don't know the exact period of time, but we know when they told Herod how long it had been since the star appeared. That star likely appeared before Jesus was born to give them the opportunity to come and be there in a reasonable amount of time. And that Herod, when he felt betrayed, killed the little boys that were 2 or 3 years and younger, that's about when the star had appeared. He wanted to make sure he got him killed. But there had been a period of time here. So this is not the night that the shepherds appeared, though it was after his birth at some point in time, before the trip to Egypt to escape King Herod. Getting that out of the way. They were signaled by God regarding the birth of the Messiah. We're not told how. You know, because just because you see a bright light in the sky, that doesn't mean that Jesus is being born. You know, so how do they know? Well, somehow God informed them as to what this meant. And they came. The chief priests and the scribes were gathered together to find out where it is that he was to be born, because they came to Herod and they said, "Where is he who is born king of the Jews?" Frightened Herod. It should have. And it did. So they inquired from Micah chapter 2, or chapter 5 and verse 2, which was read just a moment ago. They knew where to go to find it. But isn't it remarkable that the chief priest and the scribes didn't really seem to care? That has always astonished me. They had been waiting, or technically we've been waiting since the garden, hadn't we? Since the prophecy was made to Eve, "Your seed will crush the serpent's head, though the serpent will bruise his heel." But at least from the time of Abraham and the origins of the Hebrew people, they had been looking forward to this one who would bless all the nations, the one who would come and redeem them, the one who would come to sit on David's throne. All of these things they had been looking for. And now here come these foreigners and they say, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" And they matter-of-factly thumb through their Bible and go, "Oh yeah, it's in Bethlehem." Why did they not get excited? Why did they not say, "Hey, can we go with you? This is what we've been waiting for generations to come," but yet it didn't happen. Herod makes a deal with the Magi. "You guys go and worship him, and when you come back and tell me where he is, I want to go and do the same thing," although his intent was to kill him. And the Magi come and they find the child. And what do they do? first thing is they worshiped him. They worshiped him. This is the word that Jesus uses when he says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. This is the same word. And they came and they paid homage to him, and they loved him and presented these extravagant gifts to him. These are not cheap gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and we'll talk about that in just a couple of minutes. These are extravagant gifts. You know, you might think that that video game system you got for your kids or your grandkids was expensive. This is a lot more expensive. These gifts were incredibly costly. They would be today. I don't know what gold's going for now, probably somewhere around $2,000 an ounce. But my guess is they brought him more than an ounce. And giving him to a child with peasant parents. In Matthew chapter 19, there's an interesting account during Jesus' ministry. Verse 13 through 15. Matthew 19, then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed from there. At this time, I would like for our children to please come forward. And if mom or dad or an older sibling needs to escort them down, you're welcome to stay down here as well. But why don't you guys come join me up front, and let's talk for just a couple of minutes. Don't be shy. There's that pretty red dress. You guys can get over here if you like. There you go. Lots of room. Have you guys had a good morning today? Yeah. Did you get lots of nice things? All right. Well, thanks for coming down here and joining me this morning. Have you guys heard about the wise men before? Yeah. Okay, so you learned about it in Bible class. Well, that's wonderful. Now, when we think about what happened, there's some really important lessons that we can learn from what took place. Have you thought about what happened that day? Where did they find the answer to the question of where he was going to be born? Where did they find it? No, not in a stable, but where did they find the answer? Well, you remember when the wise men asked, where is he going to be born? Where would they find it? Well, the angel told them too, but in Micah, in the Bible, in God's word. They went to God's word to find the answer. In that, you know, everything that you guys said was true. But what I wanted to know is, you know, where did they find that answer? Well, the first message and lesson that we can learn is that we need to look at God's word for all of our answers, don't we? That's where our answers need to come from. You know, there's a lot of people in this world that are going to tell us a lot of things that may not be what God wants us to know and how he wants us to live. Well, we can always find out how we're supposed to live by looking at God's word. The second thing is, what did the angel tell the wise men to do instead of going back to Herod? What did he do? Tell them to do?
Not go to Herod, go a different way.
Go a different way. Uh-huh. Go home a different way. Yeah. Well, that's where they took Jesus to. That's where he told Joseph to take Jesus. So he told them to go home another way, but what had they done? They'd made a deal with Herod, and then the angel said, don't do it. Your second lesson that's really important, and listen carefully, okay? It's never wrong to do the right thing. It's never wrong to do the right thing. It was the right thing for them to go back the other way and not tell Herod where Jesus was, wasn't it? Because he would have tried to, he was going to try to kill him. So that it needed to protect him in that moment. The third thing is, what did they bring to Jesus? Is that what you were going to say? I bet all of you were going to say that, weren't you? Yeah, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold's pretty expensive, isn't it? Yeah? You see my wedding ring right here? That's gold. And this cost back about 35 or 36 years ago, it cost about $100. It would cost a lot more than that now. And it's small. You think they gave him more gold than this?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. It's very expensive. It was. And we're going to talk about that in just a couple of minutes. We sure are. Matter of fact, I might just let you get up there and finish my lesson. That's pretty smart. Yeah. But these gifts were not cheap. They didn't go to Walmart, and they didn't go to the Dollar Tree or someplace like that to get these gifts. These gifts were very expensive. The most expensive store you can think of, they would have gone to a more expensive and extravagant place than that. Yes? Oh, they weren't? Okay. Well, thank you for straightening me out. That's awesome. But these were very expensive. So not only do we see that we need to look to God's word for all the right answers, not only do we see that it is always, it's never wrong to do the right thing, we also see that when we come to Jesus, we must always give him our very best. Give him our very, very best. And the fact that you all have taken your time on Christmas Day to be here, you're bringing him your best just by being with us today. And I'm so glad that you all were here. And I appreciate you encouraging me by coming up here this morning. There we go. You guys want to sing with me? All right. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Do you know when we read just a moment ago in Matthew 19 that there were some people that were trying to keep children away from Jesus? And Jesus wouldn't have it. He wanted them to be where he was. That's right. It was his close disciples that did. And Jesus always wants children to be with him. And so it's important that you all, as well as the other children that are here, because you know, your moms and dads, they're children of his too. And your grandparents, and your aunts and uncles, and your older brothers and sisters, they're all God's children. And Jesus loves all of them. And you all have done a wonderful thing today, being an example to them. And we appreciate it very much. So we're going to sing a couple more verses of that while you guys go back to your seat, okay? Jesus died for all the children All the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus died for all the children of the world. Let's sing out. Jesus blesses all the children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. How important it is to understand that we are all God's children. Jesus didn't come just so we could have presents one day a year. Jesus didn't come just so we could get off of work one day a year. Jesus came to bless us and to die for us so that all of His children could have access to the Father for eternal life. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, Matthew records for us, "And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Their treasures. There are some translations that say when they opened their treasure chests. You know, I guess even as a little kid, we all wanted to find a treasure chest, right? You know, either at the end of a rainbow or somewhere, and there's a big TV show that's on, I guess, History Channel now, The Curse of Oak Island. Anybody watch that? Where they're trying to find the Templar treasure up there from 600 years ago, and they're digging all the time and digging tunnels and doing all kinds of stuff because we want to find a treasure chest. Folks, they brought a treasure chest and opened it up and gave it to Jesus, but God gave us the greatest treasure in His Son, Jesus Christ. That's better than any treasure chest we could ever dig out of our yard or wherever else we go. First thing that we see that He was given was gold. Gold is a gift that is typically reserved for a king. It is a gift for a king. Now look back in verse 2 of Matthew chapter 2. Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Notice the first thing they did is they presented gold to this child. Gold. What in the world could a child do with gold? A mom and dad might have some ideas, right? But for a child, but he was a king. And that was the natural and normal thing to do for a king. You know, in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 11, as Jesus is at his trial before Pilate, he says, "Tell me the truth. Are you a king?" And Jesus says, "It is as you say." Jesus acknowledged that he was a king. Paul also writing in 1 Timothy chapter 1, 17, talks about the eternal, immortal king that is Jesus Christ. He was a king. And when we look at his life, we don't see a king. You know, we've got a show, speaking of shows, and maybe some of you have seen it, it's called Undercover Boss. Anybody seen Undercover Boss? And the way people talk to him, you know, him or her, when they don't know who they are, they get the real story about how their employees are, whether or not they're a great and valued employee or whether or not they're a chump, you know? Oh, yeah, this company is just all, it's run bad, it's all this kind of stuff, right? Or it's somebody that, this guy or gal is not somebody that can do anything for them, but yet they treat them with respect the way they should be treated. Jesus was the original undercover boss. He's Emmanuel. And he came down here and he walked among us. And he got to see how people were really going to treat him. Whether or not they really loved God or not. And even when they didn't love God, he was trying to draw them back to God. Because he himself was born a king. In Revelation chapter 19, there's a spectacular section of scripture and a description of Jesus. Revelation 19, beginning in verse 11, "Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and with it, that with it he should strike the nations. He himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the wine press of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." When the Magi show up, who do they go to? They go to King Herod. Who was Herod? He was the king of the Jews. Now, he was a political puppet, but he still had the title King of the Jews. But here's a baby that is born that is not just King of the Jews, but he's King of Kings. He was a king over Herod, over Caesar, over the President of the United States, over the Queen or the King of England, or of any other political entity on earth. He is superior in every way to all of them. Jesus came as a king. Let's sing a song together.
If you will, join me and stand for this one as well.
All day long of Jesus I am singing. He's my song of joy will ever be. All the while he keeps my heart bells ringing. For his love is everything to me. He's my king, and oh, I dearly love him. He's my king, no other is above him. All day long in raptured praise I sing. He's my savior, he's my king. Streams of love around my soul are flowing. From his heart, love's everlasting spring. That is why my faith in him I'm showing. That is why an endless song I sing. He's my king, and oh, I dearly love him. He's my king, no other is above him. All day long in raptured praise I sing. He's my savior, he's my king. In his light I'm going home to glory. With the souls who trust his saving grace. Going home to sing and tell his story in the blessed sunshine of his face. He's my king, and oh, I dearly love him. He's my king, no other is above him. All day long. raptured praise I sing. His King.
Maybe see.
As they opened up their treasures, not only did they produce gold for him, but then they produce frankincense. This word, it literally means pure incense. It was the incense that was used by priests. One of our young men was teaching me about that just a moment ago. It was used by the priest. They would use it in the daily sacrifices that were being made. Leviticus chapter 2 records for us in verses 1 and 2, also in 15 and 16, the importance that they used the proper incense as the priests go through the temple. The incense were representative of the prayers of the saints. And as the incense were offered, it would go up as a sweet-smelling aroma to God. In Hebrews chapter 7, beginning in verse 20, the Hebrew writer teaches us about Jesus. And inasmuch as he was not made a priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said, "The Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests that because they were prevented by death from continuing, but he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those other high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For he did this once for all when he offered up himself. Jesus is our great high priest. And as a high priest does, the priest intercedes on behalf of those they are serving. But he doesn't have to intercede for himself, because he has no sins or shortcomings that he needs to address. And as the Magi come and they give him gold, they acknowledge that he's a king. But as they bring him frankincense, which was extremely expensive, it was costly, they also were designating that Jesus was our high priest. Let's sing together.
Please stand. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will walk. wash away my sin. Let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves the children dear, children far away or near. They are safe when in his care, every day and everywhere. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus, take this heart of mine, make it pure and holy thine. Thou hast bled and died for me. I will henceforth live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Please.
Think about it with me for just a moment. God Emmanuel, our God with us, comes in the form of a baby. He is going to be our king, and he's a king when he's born, but not one who is ruling at that moment. He comes as a baby, but he's going to be our intercessor, the one who loves us enough to present himself as our sacrifice, the one who loves us enough that he ever lives to intercede for us. Not in that moment, but as he grew. But lastly, we notice that they bring myrrh. Myrrh was a perfume, an ointment that was primarily used to prepare bodies for burial. Why on earth would you bring that to a child? You see, those gifts were signifying some very important things to us. This baby was not going to stay a baby. This baby was going to be a king. He was going to be a priest. But he also was born for one purpose, and that was to die. In John 19, 39 and 40, we see where when Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea and some of the ladies come together, that they prepare his body with myrrh and aloes. Those 33, 34, 35 years later, after the Magi visit him, it reaches its fulfillment as Jesus dies. And his body is anointed as he has finished what Jesus sent him to do, or what God sent him to do. Jesus dies on that cross. He takes my sins and he takes your sins and he makes them his burden. 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20, God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He knew no sin, but yet our sins were placed upon him. The wrath of God was poured out on him in that moment, and he died, paid the price for our sins. And in the moment that he is an innocent as anything can possibly be, it was signified to us that he was going to die. John told us as Jesus is beginning his ministry, John the Baptizer, he looks one day and Jesus is walking. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world was not a lamb just to be a friend. He wasn't a lamb just to wander around and be cute. He wasn't just a lamb that was going to have its wool sheared off to make clothing. That was a lamb that was being prepared to die. The spotless, pure, sinless Lamb of God was Jesus Christ. You see, God with us. He didn't walk around just to say, "Hey, look at me, I'm God." No, he came. He came and was born to be our King of Kings with the most humble of existences. He was born to be our great high priest from the most humble of births. And he was born to be the Lamb of God who died to take away our sins. You know, as we look at our newborns, or even if we look at some of our kids that are smarter than us, even at this young age, sitting up here, how many of us would sacrifice one of them for the sins of mankind? I don't think we would do that. We don't have it in us to injure our child on behalf of another, much less to kill them. But God saw our greatest need, and that was for forgiveness, and knew that without that forgiveness, we could never have a relationship with him. And he made it possible for us. And in that visit of those wise men to that house in Bethlehem, at whatever point after his birth it was, they came in and they opened up their treasure chest and they said, "This is the King of Kings. This is our great high priest. This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." This is a day when we enjoy getting gifts and giving gifts, don't we? We enjoy seeing the joy, especially on a child's face, when they open up and there's something that they really wanted so badly. Sometimes they get something that they need. They get a pack of underwear, right? Something they need really badly. But you know, in Jesus we get both. We can not only get what we want so dearly, we get what we desperately need. Jesus, our King, our priest, our Lamb, our Savior. From a humble beginning. And today as we gather and we're worshiping in songs and in remembrance, as we're worshiping in prayer, as we've done all the things that we've done today, he's at the right hand of the throne of God. And he's looking down. And he's seeing the fulfillment of his work. He's still interceding for us. He's reigning as our King. But also the blood of the Lamb of God continues to flow, continue to cleanse us, continues to make us pure and holy in God's sight. Throughout this series, we've sung the same invitation song every time, and we're going to sing it again now. The song is, "Why Did My Savior Come to Earth?" And the short answer and the most profound answer is, because he loved me so. It was out of an abundance of love he was motivated to come and to do all the things we've talked about today and so much more, so we could spend eternity with him in heaven. You know, you may not be a child of God. You may have never given your life to him by believing in him and repenting of your sins, confessing his precious name and being baptized in water for the remission of those sins. You may have never done those things. Can you think of a more profound day to give your life to Christ than the day that the world recognizes him coming to the earth? I can't. What a blessed day to be born again and to be placed into his care for eternity. Maybe you're here and maybe you've done those things, but time has slipped by. Maybe things have happened in your life. Maybe you've lost contact with God. Maybe sin's entered back into your life. Maybe there are circumstances that are bringing hardship upon you and you need the intercession of Jesus. Maybe you want us to pray with you and pray for you and encourage you today. All of those things and so much more we'd like to assist you with today. Whatever your need is, make it known to us as together we stand and sing.
Why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble go? Why did he choose a lowly birth? Because he loved me so. He loved me so. He loved me so. Precious life for me, because he loved me so. Why did he drink the bitter cup of sorrow, pain, and woe? Why cross be lifted up? Because he loved me so. He loved me so. He loved me so. He gave precious life for me, because he loved me so. Till Jesus comes, I'll sing his praise, and then to glory go, and reign with him through endless days, because he loved me so. He loved me so. He loved me so. Precious life for me, because he loved me so. Please be seated.
This morning, Johnny Walker has come forward with heaviness of heart, just wanting the church's prayers to intervene for him in his life. He's grieving, and he just needs God's intervention in his life, and he'd just like us to pray for him. Let's pray for Johnny. Oh, Lord God, our Father in heaven, thank you for touching Johnny's heart and having him come down here today. Thank you that he has shared with us that he needs you to intervene in his life, and he needs your blessing now. We pray for him as one body of the church with our hearts to his needs. please intervene in his life. Please bless him and make this a wonderful year coming up for him and his family. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Good morning. We're encouraged with everyone's presence here today, especially given the inclement weather we've been having. We're very happy that everybody is here, and just a beautiful day for everyone to get together and enjoy each other's fellowship, and I'm glad you're here. We extend a warm welcome to all of our visitors and invite you to come and worship with us again anytime you might have. Also, We are not having worship service this evening, so please do not show up here unless you want to go out to dinner somewhere. Then we can all go. Remember, next Sunday during the Bible class time, beginning at 9:30 a.m., everyone will be meeting together in the Family Life Center for a continental breakfast and to hear information about our new Bible classes beginning on January 8th. Also, we have an announcement that the funeral services for Margie Philpott have been canceled, and the funeral was originally scheduled for Tuesday, December 27th. I don't have any information as to why or if it is being rescheduled. So at this point, we'll have our closing prayer and a closing song. Thank you.
Father, we love you, we worship and adore you, glorify thy name in all the earth, glorify thy name.
I'm going to say a quick prayer, and then Dave is going to close us out in prayer.
I just learned this just a couple seconds ago, that Roger Grebbing, Julie Dillon's dad, is in the hospital and he had brain surgery last evening. We're going to say a prayer for Roger and their family. I do not know any more details other than what I just said, if you all will bow. Father in heaven, you are the ultimate physician, the ultimate healer. We ask you to be with that whole situation with Roger and the surgery that he had last night. Whatever it is, be with him, be with the doctors, the nurses, all the caregivers. Be with Julie, be with the whole family, be with Donnie. And whatever your will is, may it be done. Be with all of them. In your son's name, amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the blessings that we have and the blessings that we have been enriched with by being here today. And Father, we just pray that all the things that we did today bring glory and honor to you. Father, you have shown us such great love that you sent your Son, who is the King of Kings. And Father, we pray that as we close this year and start next year, that Father, we'll make him our King in our life above all other things. Father, we're grateful for the forgiveness of sins that we have through your Son's sacrifice and all the blessings that we have through that. Father, we thank you for all the things you do. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.